Since 1937, the lights of spiritual guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and just in case you may have happened on this radio program for the very first time, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been on the air since 1937. We are celebrating our 87th year in the year 2024. My father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, started the program on a radio station in High Point, North Carolina, and I have been producing the program since his homegoing in the year 2000. So thanks so much for listening today, and I hope that you will enjoy the program, the music, as well as the sermon. We're continuing the message, the good news of the gospel of hope, preached at Flintwood Wesleyan Church the first Sunday of Advent in the month of December. So I hope you will enjoy that message as we continue sharing it on the program today. Don't forget to pray for me as I am involved in revival meetings this weekend, the second weekend of the month of January, January 12 to 14, Monticello, Mississippi at the Methodist Protestant Church. And then January the 21st to the 24th, I'll travel to Deland, Florida to the Church of the Nazarene. And then February 11 to 14, Spencer, Indiana, also in the Church of the Nazarene. So I do covet your prayers as we have now begun our ministry year for the year 2024. I hope that you will pray about supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. We are listener supported, and we depend upon our listening audience to keep this program on this radio station. So you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. You can also give electronically. Go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tabs there. Heavenly Father, it's always a joy to bring the program to our listening audience. And I pray that you would be with those who are listening today that might be struggling, might be going through a difficult time. And I pray that they would find strength in the message that's being preached, as well as the music that's being shared on the program today. I pray for those who are dealing with the loss of a loved one. We understand that feeling. We pray for those who are struggling spiritually. I pray that you would give them a special measure of grace today. We love you, Father. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. We entrust this program and the listening audience into your care and keeping. In the name of Jesus, I ask it all. Amen. Don't forget to write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Thanks so much.
Are upon me. He sees everything I do. The arms of God are around me. He keeps safe and secure, and he knows where I am every hour of every day. He knows each thought I think, he knows each word that I might say. And although there were times I stepped out of his will, I've never been out of his care. This changing world alarms me with war, with sin, with strife. But my loving Father charms with joy, with peace, with light. And he knows where I am every hour of every day. He knows each thought I think, he knows each word that I might say. And although there were times I stepped out of his will, I've never been out of His care. I've never been out of His care.
But I can tell you this, that as a result of the sufferings that we might have experienced, it caused our faith to be stronger, our trust to be deeper, because He proved Himself. He was always there. I remember that day in June of 2018, after Gretchen had her annual mammogram. And then we got the call back from the doctor. It's cancer. You can understand from a human perspective what goes through one's mind when you get that kind of news. Fortunately, we had a wonderful doctor and a team of doctors that walked with us through that entire experience. And my wife is cancer-free today. But in that time, we had to trust. We had to hold tight to the promises of God. Year before last, the summer of 2022, I was in a camp meeting down in the state of Alabama. I was getting ready to leave my room to go over to the tabernacle for the service that evening. And I was doing what anybody does that's got hair. I was fixing it and wanting it to look nice. And I had my mirror in my hand, and I was standing with my back to the big mirror on the chest of drawers there in my room. I wanted to make sure my hair was laying nicely in the back. And I saw it. The spot. It had not been there before. It was down in the lower part of my back. And no reason to see it, but that day I saw it. I thought, what's that? It was almost black. About as big as my small fingernail. I was concerned because, you see, I had a sister-in-law who died of melanoma cancer. I contacted my doctor here in Columbus when I arrived back home. Set up an appointment. It was melanoma cancer. And you can imagine what goes through one's mind with that kind of diagnosis. Has it traveled? Is it localized? And those next several weeks, as we set out to deal with that, with our doctor and with our oncologist, I remember getting the news that day that it was localized, been taken care of. My oncologist said, you'll probably live another 10 years. I was hoping for 20, but she said 10. But that would be all right, because that would mean another 10 would, I'd be 86 when I got that news. But I can tell you this, going through those times, you learn to lean heavy on the Lord. That's good news. To know that you can lean upon Him and He is going to be there with you in the midst of those kinds of situations and circumstances. And that produces character. That produces a lifestyle to where people can see that you're different. You're different. You're not like the world. You don't react like the world. You don't talk like the world. Gretchen and I were holding a revival meeting in Ohio several years ago. And one night after the revival service, the pastor said, Lane, I've got a meeting. And so, you're on your own, he said. We got in the church van. He had made that available to us. We were staying in Ashtabula, Ohio, about 30 minutes away in a motel. We drove back up to Ashtabula. It was late. We hadn't had supper. So we looked for a place to get a bite to eat. And there was a restaurant, Applebee's. It was the only restaurant open that we could find. We pulled into the parking lot. It was virtually empty of cars. We walked into that restaurant. It was empty, except for the wait staff. And I assumed they had cooks in the back. They took us around to the back side of that restaurant and seated us. Handsome young man came, began to wait on us, took our drink order, and in the process of getting our food, we began to carry on a conversation with the young man. I said, are you going to be in the restaurant business the rest of your life? Is this your career choice? He said, oh no, I'm just working here to get enough money to go to college in the fall. I said, that's good. That's good. He would come and go, and we would just chit-chat a little bit. And then when we finished our meal, I stood up. It was early in the spring, still a bit chilly outside. I had an overcoat. I was putting it on and getting Gretchen's coat on her. And he came back, and he said, I saw you come in a while ago. And he said, I thought to myself, they're different. I don't know why he felt that way, but he said, they're different. In the course of our conversation, he asked, he caught my southern accent. You're not from around here. No, we're in revival at Jefferson, Ohio. Why don't you come down and join us? We invited him. Hoped he would come. And now he's telling us, you're different. And my only response that came to my mind was this. We're supposed to be. Aren't we? If we have been justified through faith, if we have experienced the grace of God in our lives, if He's seen us through all kinds of sufferings and difficult moments in our lives that's created perseverance in us, that's brought about character, the way we live our lives, are we not to be different? And character, hope. Hope beyond this veil, as my dad used to say. There is a hope that you and I have beyond this world. And if we're living for this world only, we're of most people most miserable. Because there is a better world. There's a better life. And we have hope of that better life because we've been justified through faith. Because we've experienced the grace of God in our lives. He's brought us through sufferings that's created perseverance and brought about character in the way we live our lives, you see. We have hope because of all of that. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And there's another beautiful aspect of the hope that we have in the good news of the gospel. We have the third person of the Trinity. The Bible says He is our paraclete. He is the one who is called alongside to help. He's our helper. So when I go through the hard place, when the enemy does come against me, tries to defeat me, tempts me in all manner of ways, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit's there checking me, enlivening my spirit, strengthening me so that I might not cave in to what the enemy tries to get me to do that I know is wrong. It's part of the good news of the gospel. We have a third party, another power, giving us divine assistance. We have a helper. Verse 6 says, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, undeserving. There's not a thing that you nor I could ever do to deserve what He did there. Christ, while we were still sinners, died for you. Died for me. Of His own will, His own volition. He wasn't forced to do it. He did it because He loved us. And for us to give Him anything less than our all would be a spiritual crime. He died for us. Since now we have been justified by His blood, verse 9, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Don't make the mistake this morning of thinking that because God is a God of love, that He can't get angry. My life verse is Psalm chapter 2, verse 12. This is what it says. Kiss the Son. And the word Son there is capital letter S-O-N. Speaking of Jesus. Kiss the Son. Lest he be angry with you. And you perish when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who place their trust in him. Ever had anybody mad at you? I remember I was at home with mother. I didn't get to start school until I was 6 years old because of the way my birthday fell. So I was 6 years old at home with my mom. Dad was gone somewhere. My brothers and my sister were off at school. I was bored. I knew that my cousins who lived across the road would be home before my brothers and my sister because their mother picked them up from school and brought them home. So I knew that they would be home that particular afternoon. And I went to my mother and I said, Mom, could I go over to Michael Dennis's and Kenneth's and just play until my brothers and sister get home from school? And my mother said, no, son, you can't. Because if you go, you'll go over there and you'll get dirty. She had already gotten me cleaned up for the day. I couldn't figure that one out. She said, we're going to go out to eat this evening when your dad gets home. And I don't want you going over there to get dirty. And so, no, you cannot go. And I was, Mama, I'll not get dirty. I imagine that, 6 years old. I'll not get dirty. Just let me go. Let me go, Mom. And I, you know how we kids, oh, please, 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 please. And she said, no, don't ask me again. You're not going. As soon as my mother disappeared into the house, I went through the backyard, through the back garden area, over to the big red bank, down the big red bank, across Highway 29, over to where Michael, Dennis, and Kenneth lived. All the way I'm running over there, I'm thinking, I'll get over here, I'll play with my cousins, play some baseball, I won't get dirty, and I'll get back home before Dad gets home, and nobody need be the wiser. I don't think I said it quite like that, but that's what I was thinking. I got over there, and sure enough, Michael, Dennis, and Kenneth were home. I said, let's play baseball. They had this great big front yard that was perfect. It butted up to Highway 29, which is the road Dad had to come on to get to High Cone Road to turn left to go up to our house. And I'm out there. I'm about to cut down one of my cousins heading for third base. And I heard a horn blow. And I looked, and it was my dad. He didn't know but what I had permission to be there. And so he's waving at me. And I'm going, oh no, there's my dad. I dropped the ball and I ran across their yard, across Highway 29, up the big red embankment, through the back garden area. I got to the back edge of our backyard and my dad had gotten home and found out I wasn't supposed to be where I was. And he had anything but love written on his face. When I saw him, I saw my only avenue of escape were two logs lying parallel one to the other at my feet. I've always been biologically thin. And I dove between those two logs. Face down on those two, in those two logs, between them. And I could hear my dad. He had already called my Aunt Moline. She had said, well, he's already left. And Dad knew I was somewhere in the area. He started calling me. Lane! Lane! Where are you? I'm lying there face down between those two logs. I already made up my mind I'm going to spend the rest of my life between these two logs. I was trying to figure out how I'm going to eat and drink water, turn over. And I finally was able to maneuver myself over on my back. And I'm looking up at the sky. If it rains, I'll drown. And my dad, Lane. Then he really got intense. He used both my names. Harold Lane. Then mother joined in. Lane. Lane. My dad literally walked right over me. He stepped right over those logs. And I watched him. Our neighbor Ruth Scott. Her name is indelibly imprinted in my memory. Ruth Scott. Her husband ran the little corner store down there at the corner of Hycon Road and Highway 29. She heard all the commotion up at the Lohman place. She comes out the back door and says, "Brother Lohman, who are y'all looking for?" "We're looking for Lane. You seen him?" "Well, he's up there between those two logs." And I got up. I knew what was coming next. I went into the house, walked up the stairs, and got ready. And my dad came up, and he got ready. He whipped me. And we finally got to go on our little family trip that afternoon after all that had happened. And I was snubbing and sitting up on the edge of the back seat. And I remember my dad saying, my little face was right at my dad's head as he's driving the car. He said, "Son, I hated doing that. But if I had let you get away with it, I wouldn't have been able to control you." "I know, Dad. I know." I thought my dad was so angry. But what I thought as a six-year-old regarding my dad's wrath doesn't compare to the wrath of God. And don't buy into the idea that because he's a God of love that he can't get mad at you. But we've got good news. The good news of the gospel. We can be justified through faith. Because of grace and because of what he's done for us, at just the right time, Christ died for you. Not only this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel that gives us great hope today.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.